The shiur tonight is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Bereishis. The title of the shiur tonight is Parenting Skills of Adam and Chava. So as the title suggests, tonight the shiur will focus, a part of the shiur will focus on the parenting of Adam and Chava, the pros and the cons, as viewed from Chazal's standpoint. And furthermore, we'll also get into the development of Cain versus Hevel, and we'll look into that story a little bit. We'll start with Bereishis, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. And I'm going to read through the Pesukim, and we'll look at some of the Rishonim. So it says, V'ha'adam yada es chava ishto, v'atar v'atelet es kain, v'atumer kanisi isha sadoshem. So Adam was with Chava, his wife. She got pregnant, and she had a child named, and she named him Cain, and she said, kanisi ish es adoshem. That's the reason for the name Cain. So we'll see what Kanisi Isha Sadoshem means. And then it says, Vatosef Valedes Esachiv Es Havel Vahi Hevel Roetzon V'Kain Haya Oved Adama. And she continued to have children, and she had another son, Hevel. Hevel was a shepherd of cattle, and Cain worked the land. So in the introduction to the story of Cain and Hevel, which I think we're all pretty much familiar with, the first pasuk tells us that they were born, and that Cain was named after Kanisi Yisashad Hashem, and then we're told what their jobs were. So the interesting idea, or the interesting point in the first two psukim, is what's the need for this introduction? You could say, from a pshat standpoint, we're just trying to get background, but there are deeper levels of understanding of the, of these psukim, of pasuk aleph and beis. So the first question that the Rishonim take up is the point of naming Cain Kanisi Isha Sadoshem. So we'll look at Rashi, look at number two. What value is there in teaching us that she, that Chava, named her son Cain after Kanisi Isha Sadoshem? So Rashi's number two on Pasuk Aleph. We'll go through the Rashis. V'ha Adam Yada. So it says that Adam knew Kvar Kodem Inyan Shel Malah. So this is interesting. It's saying that really this story took place before the Chait. Kodem Shechata V'Nitrad Migan Eden. So the whole birth of Cain and Hevel occurred before the Chait. V'Chein HaHirayon V'Haleda. So their birth and the conception and the birth, they occurred before the Chait. The story of Cain and Hevel probably occurred after the Chait, but the birth of Cain and Hevel occurred before the Chait. She'im Kasa V'Yeda Adam Nishma Shela'achar Shenitrad Hayulo Banim. Because if it had written in the psukim Vayeda instead of Yada, that would have implied that it was after he had already been thrown out of Gan Eden, and then he had Banim. So we already see from the first pasuk that the pasuk is really factually out of order, chronologically. And it's coming here after the Chait has... we've already learned about the Chait of Adam and Chava in the previous prukim, and only now are we taught about Cain's birth and Cain's existence. And the question is, why is this out of order? That's one question that we have in Rashi. Rashi is saying that it's out of order, that this really occurred after, but the question is, why is it out of order? Why was this placed over here when really it occurred before the Chait? And furthermore, what is the relevance of it? Who cares when Cain and Hevel were born? Why does it matter whether they were born before the Chait or after the Chait? So we'll come back and answer those questions. And then it goes on, Cain al shem Kanisi ish. So why did she name him Cain? Based on the idea, the concept of Kanisi ish, which Rashi explains it, because if you look at the next Rashi, it says, Es Hashem kmo im Hashem, kishibara osiv es ishi hu levado baranu, aval bezeh shutfim anu imo. So she said that when she and Adam were created, it was only through Hashem. But now with Cain, there are partners in creation with Hashem. Anu shutafim anu imo. That we're all partners in creating Cain. So the word Kanisi and Cain is a reference to the idea of Bria, of creation, Kone Shamayim Arts. Like we say that God created the Shamayim and the Arts, so too, Chava is saying that I created Kanisi, I created this man with Hashem. So that's the idea of the name. So the question is, why does the Torah teach us this, what the name was, and why she named him that? And we'll come back to that as well. And then what happens, as Cain es achiv es havel, shlosh asim ribuim hin. So this is a more of a pshat idea. Well, it's actually a medrash, but we're not really going to focus on it. But also, there are other children born with Cain and Hevel. There are three S's in the psukim. Melamed shetaoma nolda im Cain. Cain had a twin sister, vim hevel noldu shtayim. And Hevel was a triplet. he had two girls as well as him. L'chach ne'amar v'tosef. That's what it said. Well, that's why it says she continued. So the first idea that we come across is Rashi, and Rashi explains that A, this occurred after the chait, before this, the birth occurred before the chait, excuse me, but the psukim are being taught to us after the chait. So we have to analyze why that is the case. And furthermore, Rashi is telling us the name of Cain comes from the concept that Chava felt that she had created this human being with Hashem. So she's saying, almost like she's a creator, Kanisi, I created this man, Im Hashem. Es Hashem is also Im Hashem, with Hashem. So the question is, what's the significance of the name? Why does the Torah tell us the nature and the reason for his naming being Cain, but yet Hevel, we don't really see any reason behind his name? Okay, so that's really the first question of the shiur. There's going to be a little bit of a buildup of questions, and then we're going to give a main concept towards the middle of the shiur, and then we'll see how it plays out. So if you look at the Ramban also, number 3, the Ramban actually has a different idea for the name of Cain. And if number 3 says Es Hashem, same thing. He says Im Hashem. He quotes Rashi, Kishabara Osiv Es Ishi Hu Levado Baranu. So when Hashem created humanity, he created Adam and Chava by himself. Aval Bezeh Anu Shutofen Imo. With regard to this, we are his partners. Lashon Rashi. Then he argues, Vanachol Li. And what appears to me to be correct, She'amra Habein Hazeh Yieli Kinyan LaHashem. That this child should be a possession for Hashem. So instead of Kanisi being a creation, it's a kinyan. A kinyan means a possession for Hashem. Ki kasher nomos, when we die, ye bim komenu lavod es boro. He will take our place in order to serve the Creator. V'chein das unklus amar kadam Hashem. So too unklus agrees. He says it means before Hashem. V'kamohu v'haras hakohen lakohen, for the kohen. So the Ramban argues with Rashi. He says, Kanisi Ishasad Hashem doesn't mean that I created him with Hashem, but rather it means that I created a possession for Hashem. And what does it mean? Ki kasher nomos, when we die, he will be in our place. He will be in our place, lavod es boro. Which also, by the way, the Ramban implies that it occurred after the chait, because Misa was introduced after the chait. So the idea that she was already fathoming their own death and that he would be in their place means, according to the Ramban, different than Rashi, that this occurred after the chait, which we'll also explain. But the main point of Rashi and the Ramban is the name Cain. Where does the name Cain come from? Does it come from Kanisi Yisrael Hashem, I am a creator with Hashem? Or does it come from the idea of a kinyan, of a possession for Hashem, that he will take our place? He is mine and he will take our place, meaning Adam and Chava's place, when they die, in order to serve the Creator. Okay, so this is significant, the name of Cain, the Torah pointed out, and we'll have to explain why or what we can understand about this, and why the Torah is teaching us this. Okay, but everybody keep those questions in the back of your mind. We'll keep the questions of what the significance of the name is and the machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban in the back of our minds, and we'll go on a little bit further. So another strange idea is, why is the Torah telling us that Hevel was a roe tzon, that he was a shepherd, and Cain was an oved adama? So who cares what their job was? And fine, we need it for some context, because you will see in the story, if we're all familiar, in terms of what kind of mincha, what kind of korban they bring towards Hashem, to Hashem. But still, is there more depth to the idea that we have to know exactly what they did? And Rashi and all the Rishonim, they do point that out, that there's more to the story. So Rashi says in number 4, Roe Tzon, what does it mean that Hevel was a shepherd? Lefishinis galala ha'adama pirush lo me'avodasa. So interesting. So Rashi says that Hevel, he decided not to be involved in working in the land. Why? Because the land was cursed. If we look at the curse of Adam, the land no longer produced the way it did in the past. And as a result, Hevel chose a different profession. But we see from Rashi that Cain chose to be an Oved Adama. He chose to be involved in a land that was cursed. And the question is, why would Cain pursue, and we'll try to explain this, why is Cain pursuing this type of work? Why is he pursuing the, toiling in the land, when we clearly see that it made more sense what Hevel did, to move away from the land, because the land was cursed? So we'll try to explain that also, why Cain chose this line of work. And the Sforno, look at number 5, he also gives us a little bit of insight, which we'll explain. Vayhi hevel ro etzon, shehaisa meleches chachma yoser mimeleches avodas adama. That Hevel was more of a philosopher than Cain, and the reason why he chose shepherding is because it involved more chachma. There was more intelligence and wisdom required than working the land. I'm not sure if that's really true. I don't really know how to raise cattle or how to work the land, but the Svarna, will take the Svarna's word for it. So there's more chachma. Another idea I've heard in the past also for the idea of a roi tzon, I think I heard it from Rabbi Chait, is the concept of that roi tzon is given opportunity to think and involvement in ideas, because it's much easier when you're a shepherd. You have a lot of time to think. You have a lot of time to be engaged in thought and ideas and concepts, whereas an Oved Adama is more involved in the land constantly. It involves more time and more effort and more energy. But the Sforno says that the actual work itself was more chachma. So we'll have to explain, as I said, we'll explain how this fits into the whole premise of the story of Cain and Hevel. And there's one more point here before we start unraveling this mystery. There's one more point. Look at number 6. The Rabbeinu Bechaye, I didn't give you the answer of Rabbeinu Bechaye, but he points out an interesting point as well. In source number 1, Pasuk Beis, it says, V'kain haya, it should have said, Roish yomar vayhi kain oved adama. If you look back in source number 1, it says, V'tosev aledes esachives havel, vayhi hevel roi tzon, v'kain haya oved adama. It says, and Hevel was a roi tzon, and Cain was an oved adama. But it uses the word vayhi by Hevel, and by Cain it says haya. And it should have said vayhi, it should have been consistent. So why is it using two different words to describe what they do grammatically? So he says, Kashem Shalmar Vahi Hevel, just like it said Vahi Hevel, it should say Vahi Kain Oved Adama. Umasha Chalak Beinim Lefishalo Haya In Yanam Shave. The reason why it's differentiated is because they were completely different and their involvement in the work was different. Aval Hayushne Hafachim, they were opposite. Zed Sadek Vizer Rasha. So the Rabbeinu Bechaye is pointing out that there is a significance to the difference of use of term of Vayhi Hevel and Kain Haya Oved Adama to teach you that they're two different, very different type of individuals, and the jobs that they're involved in reflected that. But we'll also explain why, I want to explain further, more than Rabbeinu Bechaye is saying, why specifically and in what sense were they different in terms of how they related to their jobs, in terms of their involvement in their jobs. Okay? So those are the questions. So again, let me just review all the questions till we get to some ideas and some concepts. So the question is, the Torah tells us that Cain was named after Kanisi Ishes HaRoshem. Is a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban what the term Kanisi is referring to. Is it referring to creation, that Chava is saying, I created him? Or is it referring to the idea of possession for Hashem? But still, either way, what's the significance? Why does the Torah tell us how Chava named her child Cain? And then furthermore, the Torah goes into great detail as to what their professions were and what they chose. And Hevel specifically chose an area that was removed from the land, whereas Cain continued to work the land. And there's a smaller point in the Cain Haya versus Vayhi Hevel. So what's the difference between the phrases in the two psukim? Okay, so those are all the questions. So if anybody has any answers, just stop me, as usual, in the middle of the share if you want. But those, anybody want me to repeat the questions? Okay? Okay, good. Yes.
Can I just ask something?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a clarification.
Yeah.
These choices, is this something that they have inborn, that it was innate, or is that the result of...
I'm sorry, say it again? Say it again?
There's difference between Cain and Hevel.
Oh, okay.
Both in the naming and in the choice of professions. Is that something innate, or is that the way that they're being brought up?
Okay, good. So that's going to be one of the main focuses of the shir. So we're going to see that everybody has innate qualities, but there is something about how they were brought up that affected their development. So that's really where the shir is going to go. So I'm going to show you now that based on the Rishonim and based on looking at the chait and going backwards, that part of what the development of Cain and Hevel, part of it was development, and it wasn't purely innate. So let's go back. So the main question that we started with is the idea of the purpose of the naming of Kanisi Ishes HaRoshem. So why does the Torah tell us that he was named Cain because of Kanisi Ishes HaRoshem? And we'll start with the Rashi, really. So Rashi's telling us that Kanisi is a reference to the idea of creation, that she's stating, I am a creator, Kanisi, I created this man with Hashem. So why is that significant? Why do we need to know that? And this, according to Rashi, occurred pre-chet. It occurred before the chet. So if we look back at the chet itself, we can gain some insight into the value of the naming of Cain and also the development of Cain's personality. So look at number 7. So we're going to look at the pshat of the psukim, a couple of rishonim, but it's pretty open. I've heard from many shirim in the past some of these ideas, so I don't want to take credit for them. And we'll go through, look at number 7, Bereishis paragimel. So vayomer nachash el ha'isha lo mos tumusun. If we go back to the chet of Chava and Adam, the nachash entraps Chava, and the nachash tells Chava that if the famous idea, that if you touch the tree, if you eat from the fruit, you're not going to die. Ki yodea, if you look in, hey, ki yodea elokim, ki biyom acholchem imenu v'nifkechu enichem, v'isem ke elokim yodei tovara. Why doesn't Hashem want you to eat from this tree? Because he's scared, because he knows that if you eat from this tree, that you are going to have a wisdom and a knowledge like God's knowledge, and you're going to know the difference between good and bad. So the enticement that the Nachash uses to entice Chava was the idea that she would be godlike in her knowledge, in her knowledge would be godlike, and that was the enticement. And you see, she falls for it. Look in Vav. It says, "Vatera ha'isha kitova eitz l'machal v'chisava hu la'inayim nechmara eitz l'haskil v'tikach mipriyo v'tochal v'titein gam li'isha ima v'yochal." So Chava fell for it. And she saw that it was there was a great desire for this, not just for the fruit itself, but also for the wisdom, this idea of Yodea Tovara, this wisdom of God. And she eats it, she also gives it to Adam. So the chet, the pshat, is that the chet of Chava and Adam as well, as we'll see also, was that they were both trying to elevate their knowledge, they were both trying to reach beyond the human realms, and they were trying to be godlike in a certain sense. And they were driven by this desire to be like God, to be similar to God, to have the knowledge of God. And in fact, if we look at number 8, we have to see how the punishments of Chava correlated with the actual drive and the flaw, because usually there's an idea of midah k'neged midah, schar v'onesh, when it comes to punishment. And when Hashem punishes man, it usually correlates to the very flaw that the person reflects, or there's some relationship. So if we look at the punishment itself, look at number 8. It's Pasuk Tes Zayin, Bereishis Paragimel Pasuk Tes Zayin, says, Elaisha Amar, Harba Arba Itzvonech Veheronech Be'etzev Teldi Vanem Belishech Teshukaseich V'hul Yim Shalbach. So it's famous that the punishment to the Isha, to Chava, was that from now on, she would have a certain pain in pregnancy, she would have a pain in childbirth, and furthermore, her relationship with Adam changed as a result. And also, we see in Yud Zayin, by Adam, he had a different one. He said, Ula Adam amar ki shamata l'kol ishtecha, v'atochal min ha'etz asher tzivisich le'emor lo socha mimenu arura ha'adama b'avurecha b'tzavon tochlana kol yimei chayecha. By Adam, the punishment was with regard to the land, that the land would be cursed, and there would be a depression, a sadness in Adam eating the fruits of his labor. And furthermore, the land will be harder to plow, and it'll be thorns and thistles, and you'll eat from the grass of the field. And furthermore, by the sweat of your face, you'll eat your bread until you return to the land. Why? Because you came from the land, and that's where you're going to. And Rashi just explains in number 9, the onesh for a woman, it refers to the itzvonech zetzar gidobanim. It's a reference to raising young children, that it's difficult. Veheronech zetzar ha'ibor, that's pregnancy. Be'etzev til dibanim zetzar later, that's the childbirth itself. So we see that the two punishments were that one by Chava, it related to her pregnancy and having children and raising children, and the punishment by Adam related to the land and his ability to enjoy the land. And the last part is that that you came from dirt and you're going to return to dirt, and that's going to be reflected in the onesh, in the punishment of the land. So how does this correlate? So how does this correlate to the flaw that Adam and Chava Adam and Chava had. So what's the correlation? So if we think into it, the idea seems to be that really Adam and Chava, they really attempted to elevate themselves. They felt a certain creativity. They wanted to elevate themselves and go beyond the human limits of knowledge. They wanted to be creative beings and wanted to have the knowledge of God and be similar to God in a certain sense. So what happened? What's the onesh? The onesh is that the areas in which a woman and a man feel the most creativity, the most sense of creative strength and creative power, there was some type of diminishing of the creative ability and the creative power that a woman and a man felt in their respective professions and their respective roles. So by a woman, the most creative a person would feel or a woman can feel is the creation of a human being through childbirth and through being pregnant and carrying the child. And when the child comes out, the woman feels very strong and powerful and very creative, like she created this being. And by a man, by Adam, it was with the land itself, that when you work the land, you feel like you created this fruit. You made this fruit. And the idea was that there was always a reminder that you're a human being through working the land, as the last pasuk says in Yotes, ki afarata velafarta shuv. And man was not granted the ability to feel this great sense of power, creative power, through working the land anymore, and that was diminished and taken away. So the concept is that the flaw of Adam and Chava were such that they were searching for a creative knowledge, a creative power, the power of God, not in terms of might or anything like that, but the idea of creating things and being a creator. And the two areas which were diminished were the areas of childbirth and working the land. And the reason for that is that those are the areas where man and woman, Adam and Chava, felt the most and largest sense of creative ability, creative power, creative strength. So those were diminished. Okay? So now let's go back to what Rashi was saying, and let's try to explain why the Torah tells us why Cain was named Kanisi Ish Sad Hashem, and furthermore, according to Rashi, and maybe we can also explain the Ramban, why they chose the professions that they chose, and why the Torah tells us this. So we're going to be a little analytical in the psyche of Cain and Cain and Hevel, at least more so Cain. But I want to say, based on the idea of the chait and what the chait was in the onesh, and Rashi specifically says that the children were born before the chait, so we see that the concept of kanisi, the idea of being a creator, was an important factor and facet of the midah, of the personality of Adam and Chava, particularly Chava. And as I said before, that the idea of childbirth and having a child is particularly, or creates and has a particular effect that a person feels strong and powerful as a creator. And that's reflected in the name, Kanisi Ish Esad Hashem. So when she names Cain, she is naming him the very name that reflected the desire and the strong drive that Chava had to be a creator. It's reflected in the name of Cain itself. And that's the very flaw that manifested itself before the chait, and that's the very flaw that was corrected through the pain of childbirth and the sorrow associated with childbirth. So on the one hand, Cain's name came about from a very strong drive and a very important characteristic that she felt she had and that was important to her. But on the other hand, within this characteristic, there was also a sense of disappointment. Because this characteristic, this very personality trait, was what led to the demise of Adam and Chava, what led to this change in the world, change in the psyche of humanity. So on the one hand, he was created before the chait. He was created with this ideal of Kanisi Ish Sad Hashem, that I am a creator with Hashem. But on the other hand, with that idea, with the kinyan, with creating him, with the idea of kona, the idea of a creator, there was also a flaw there. There was a disappointment in that idea, because that idea was what led to the demise and the downfall of humanity in a certain sense. So we see in Cain's name that Cain had a mixture of two points. On the one hand, he was named after a very important personality trait, an important midah that Chava had, but on the other hand, it was infused with a disappointment. There was a flaw there that existed, and he was named after that. He was named Cain after, on the one hand, that midah that she felt, that strength and that creative power that she felt when she gave birth to him. But on the other hand, as I said, from the Chait, we see that there was a disappointment, there was a sadness, because this very flaw was what led to the demise. So now we know where Cain came from. So Cain's development, or his naming, is not just telling us, it's not just telling us what he was named for accidental reasons, but it's telling us that the naming of him came from a certain standpoint of Chava, and it influenced his personality. It influenced his personality. Your name influences your personality, and his name influences personality. On the one hand, he was infused with this idea of creation, that this is an important trait, this is an important personality trait, and she was almost expressing it through him, and now he is taking on this trait. But on the other hand, there's a flaw there, there's a disappointment. So we see that in Cain, and in fact, the concept that Cain chooses, so why does Cain choose to be an Oved Adama? Because despite the fact that the land was cursed, so Cain has a desire to be creative. He still has desire to be a creative power and to be responsible for producing fruit or producing, you know, crops. That desire was so strong that he couldn't escape it. And he followed in the same path as Adam, and he followed working the land. Hevel, which is the opposite of Kanisi Yisrael Hashem, and some Mefarshim, I think, say that Hevel was born after the Chait, but Hevel, which is the opposite, he was able to follow in a different path. He was able to reject the idea of being an Oved Adama because he recognized that it was futile and that it would lead to frustration. But Cain, because of his development, and we see his development based on his name, that's why the Torah tells us that he was named Kanisi Yisrael Hashem, because there's an idea and a strong drive to create, as Chava had done, and as Adam had done, he chose the profession that was somewhat futile, but he chose the profession of working the land. So that's one of the ideas that are expressed in the beginning of the story of Cain and Hevel, that Cain's development was completely different than Hevel's. Cain's development was developed, and his childhood was influenced by this concept, this, on the one hand, good midah, and also disappointment. But on the other hand, Hevel was the opposite. He was not influenced by this. He was able to reject following in the same footsteps, and he was able to go into a different type of work, a different type of malacha. And the other thing, by the way, and if you look at number 6, before we go on, if you look at number 6, and we'll see how this idea develops further in the story of Cain and Hevel, if you see number 6, the point that there's a difference between Cain and Hevel, and it says, Vayhi Hevel roe etzon v'kain haya ovid adama, as opposed to Rabbeinu Bechaya, I was thinking that the difference is that Hevel roe etzon is that Hevel was involved. It's one thing to be involved in an action, in a job, and this is what I do for a living. But it's another thing to define yourself by that job. And you know, it's a famous people always say, when people ask you what you do for a living or what do you do, people typically answer their jobs. And a person identifies themselves with their job. This is who I am. Some people don't, and some people do. Some people are able to say their job is just what they're involved in, and other people are able or are unable to do that, and they define themselves by their job. So the reason why the psukim are stating Vayhi Hevel roe etzon and Cain haya oved adama is because they related to their jobs completely differently as well. See, Hevel enjoyed his job. He enjoyed the chachma behind his job, but he didn't define himself by his job. It wasn't the pursuit of his life was his job. Whereas Cain, haya oved adama, he had a different relationship to his job. That he, not only did he choose the path of also trying to create as Chava and Adam had done, but he also defined himself by it, because that was who he was. He was this creative being, this creative person, and that's, you know, the path that he had chosen. Okay? So that's really the setup for the story of Cain and Hevel. So it seems that from at this point we would say that it wasn't such a great thing that he was named Cain based on Kanishi Ish Sad Hashem. It kind of gave him a bad start in life. On the one hand, he was driven towards a certain profession and driven towards a certain personality trait because of that. But on the other hand, there was a disappointment, and we'll see how that plays out in the whole story of Cain and Hevel. Does it make sense? Anybody want me to go over it or repeat it, the point? Is it clear? Somebody give me some feedback on the phone line. Somebody say yes, it was clear. Tamar? Anybody want me? Yeah, okay, good. Sure. Okay, it's okay. Somebody said yes, so we're good.
Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, so if we go on, now we can see how this psychological development of Cain versus Hevel plays out in the actual Chait. and different concepts in the chait. Because if you look at number 10, so what happens? Vayhi miketz yomim vayaveh Kain mipri adamah min chol Hashem. So what happens? After some time, Kain decides to bring a mincha, a korban for Hashem, from his crops. Vehevel hevi gam hu mibechoros tzono mechel vihen vayisha ad Hashem el hevel ve'el mincha so. So Hevel also brings from the best of his cattle and from their fat, and Hashem turns towards Hevel and his mincha. Ve'el Kain ve'el mincha so lo sha'o vayichar l'kain me'od vayiplufonav. And what happens? Kain's mincha is rejected. He gets very upset and he gets depressed. He falls on his face. So let's stop there. So based on what we said in the previous part of this year, we see that the development of Kain is such that Kain was on the one hand, he was driven by this creative drive, but on the other hand, there was also recognition or a disappointment in that creative drive. And what happens over here? Why was Kain? The question is, why was Hevel able to bring from the best of his tzon, whereas Kain was not able to bring from the best of his tzon? So the idea, it's perfect. It fits into what we were saying before, because Kain saw the fruits of his labor as being a reflection of him and his own creative power. And when it came to Kain's ability to relate to God also as well, he was looking for that. He was looking to be recognized by God. He wasn't competing with God. He wasn't like Adam and Chava. He didn't want to be like God because that was already finished. That was already disproven, and there was already a chait, and it didn't work that way. But Kain, he decides to bring a korban to God, but in the korban, he's unable to give up of his best stuff. Why? Because he still thinks that it's his, that he created it. It's mine. Why should I give it up to Hashem? Hashem wasn't the one who created it. I did it. So there's a desire for recognition on the part of Kain from God, as opposed to Hevel, who doesn't have that personality trait, he doesn't have that flaw, he's able to give up of the best. He recognizes that it's not from me, he doesn't have the strong creative drive, and therefore, he's able to give of the best. So we see from the very flaw that Kain possessed, and the korban that he's bringing, that his relationship towards his parents, and the idea of him following in his parents' footsteps, and, you know, being a creative, trying to follow the creative instinct, it also manifests itself in his relationship with Hashem as well. When he relates to Hashem, he's unwilling to give up of his best stuff, but rather he is only willing to give up of his worst stuff because he still wants to retain the idea that he created these things and that he wants recognition on the part of God that he created it, that it's not God's, but it's mine. Whereas Hevel is the opposite. He's able to give up of his stuff. So it fits in very beautifully with the personality trait of Kain. But nevertheless, as bad as a parent can be, and as harmful as a parent's naming of a child can be and development of the child, nevertheless, the Torah teaches us a beautiful idea in Vav Zayin Ches. And Hashem says to Kain, Vayomer Hashem al Kain, Lama char alach v'lama naflu fanecha, halo im teitiv se'es v'im lo se'tiv la'pesach chatas roveitz ve'lecha tishukaso ve'ata timshobo. Hashem says to Kain, why are you so angry? And why are you getting depressed? If you do better, then great, you'll be forgiven. And if not, so this chait will haunt you and will be lying at your doorstep for the rest of your life. But you can conquer it. V'ata timshol bo. You can conquer your chait. And so what's Hashem saying? That he's teaching a beautiful idea in tshuva here. That despite a person's upbringing, a person could have a terrible psychological start. You can have certain personality traits, and you can be driven by certain emotions that come from your childhood and from the way you were named and where you came from. But nevertheless, you still have the ability to overcome them. You can still overcome them. You can be moshelbo. You can be dominant over them. But if not, it'll haunt you for the rest of your life. Why will it haunt you for the rest of your life? Because it's a basic part of your personality. See, Kain's personality was such that it was developed with this important idea of being a koneh. But on the other hand, he desired a recognition because he knew, and there was also a disappointment infused with that kinyan. And that would always, if he didn't overcome it now, it's going to always affect him. It's not going to go away because it's an essential part of his personality. And that's the idea that Hashem's teaching us about tshuva. And all the Rashis just point that out. It says, Haloim Tetiv Kitargumo Perusho, La Pesach Hatas Revetz, La Pesach Kvurcha Chataacha Shamor. If you don't change your ways, if you change your ways, then good. But if not, the chait's going to be there until you're buried. Veilecha Tushukaso Shelchatas Hu Yetzara Tamid Shokeku Misavel Hachshilcha. Your Yetzara is constantly going to try to trip you up. Vata Timshobo Im Tirtze Tiskaberlov. If you want to, you can overcome it. So despite the worst, you can have the worst parents in the world, but you still have Bechira. That's what Hashem is telling Cain. You still have Bechira. You can still overcome even your most basic psychological personality trait that was developed within you. And that's the Chiddush that Hashem is telling Cain. But we see that Cain was unable to do that. And if you look in Ches, in number 10, it says, Vayomer Cain el hevel achiv, vahib yosam basadeh, vayokum Cain el hevel achiv, vayahargeyo. So what happens? He kills Heva. Why? Because instead of him giving up this idea of him being creator and him seeking out a certain level of recognition on the part of God, he ends up removing his competition. He takes out Hevel instead. So if you look at number 12, and this also fits into the idea, if you look at number 12 in Svarno, it says, the Svarno adds one idea. He says, Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv, ki chara lo v'naflu panov biglal Achiv, v'hibiyosam basadesh lo bifnei avihim v'imam. So what happened? Why did Cain take Hevel out into the field? Because he didn't want his parents to see what happened. So we see that Cain overvalued. This is also part of the personality of Cain, and it's also an outgrowth of this type of situation where the parent named the child a certain a good name, a good midah, but there's also a disappointment associated with it. The child typically wants to get attention. They want the love of the parent. They want to prove that really they could do it. And what happens is, when it comes to their relationship to God, their identity or identification of God becomes mixed and infused with their identification of their parents. And you see that by Cain too. See, Cain, when he takes Hevel out into the field, the whole idea is that he didn't want his parents to see. He valued his parents' opinion and his parents' morality almost as much as God's morality. It didn't bother him that he was murdering his brother. What more bothered him was that if his parents would know about it, then it would be wrong. But if his parents don't know about it, it's very childish. If my parents don't know about it, then it's not wrong. So we see the... So let's just stop here and just discuss and summarize a little bit. So what do we see? We see that Cain, according to Rashi, Cain was developed with a personality trait of being a Kona, of being a creator. But as we all know, obviously Adam and Chava, they recognized that there was a flaw to that Midah. And on the one hand, Cain is drawn to the same Midah. He's drawn to proving that he is a creator. But on the other hand, there's a need or a desire for recognition on the part of God, on the part of his parents, because there's a knowledge on the part of Cain that there's disappointment there. Whenever a parent, on the one hand, expresses a disappointment in the child typically wants to feel love from the parent, wants the parent to show affection to them. They want to prove that they are important to the parent. And when that happens, that also gets infused with a person's idea of God, and it becomes corrupted. So if we look at number 11, just to prove the point, just one more point in the share. So if you look at number 11, the proof that Cain fell into the same pattern as Adam and Chava is in the Onshim as well. Because if you look at number 11, the Onesh, one of the Onshim of Cain, is V'ata arur ata min ha'adamba asher patasa espia lakachas est me'achicha miyadecha. So Cain was cursed from the land, which took the blood of his brother Hevel. Ki sa'avodes adama lo tosev teis kocha loch nava nad tiev ha'aretz. And so too, when you work the land, it's not going to provide anything for you. You're going to wander around the land, around the aretz. And Rashi says, arur ata min ha'adamba, number 12, yoser mimash neskalul hikfar ba'avona, more so than what it was by the chait. V'gam bezu hosifa lachto asher patzisa aspia lakachas t'me'achicha ve'inenu mosif la klala lo tosev teis kocha. So these were all in addition to the klala that was for Cain. These are all in addition to the klala that already existed by the land. So we see that the onesh of Cain also related to the land. It was almost like an addition to the onesh and to the punishment of Adam. So why would it be an addition? Because they both possessed the same type of flaw. They both desired, it came out differently. Cain desired to recognition as a creator, and Adam originally wanted to be a creator like God. And both had the same personality trait, and Cain continues on with the same flaw as Adam and Chava. And because of that, he's punished in a similar way, and even a worse way, because the land could no longer be a source of any creativity for him at all. So that's a proof, that's a raya, that Cain possessed the similar type of flaw that Adam possessed, Adam and Chava. Okay? Is it clear? Make sense? So just one other point before we end this year, because so one other point is the Ramban. We kind of skipped over the Ramban, but Rashi is, there's two ideas of bad parenting, or there's two concepts of bad parenting. One is when you, like in this situation, Chava was overcome with an emotion that she felt was a good, and then there was a disappointment associated with it, and that was felt by Cain. And Cain could perceive that, and it affected his personality and his development. But the other is what the Ramban's saying, that when a person has a child and they view the child as simply an extension of themselves, the child will oftentimes follow in the same path as the parent. Sometimes not, sometimes they rebel, but very often the child will almost follow in the same path of the parent, and they'll make the same mistakes that the parent made because they're simply mimicking, they're simply viewed and developed as an extension of the parents. And that's also a chait as well. That's also, it's not a chait, but it's a flaw, a bad parenting skill, a bad parenting tip. So you have two parenting ideas that we can derive from the shir. One is that a person should never express, you know, disappointment with the child as a child when the child's you know, very young, and the child shouldn't perceive or shouldn't think that they are the cause of that disappointment, or they are somehow related to that disappointment if it's not them, if they're not responsible. And that's famous. We see that a lot in divorce, where people think that, especially children, they believe that it's their fault. And when you believe it's your fault that the parents were divorced, you end up trying to fix it. You try to prove, you know, you try to prove yourself. You try to fix it. You feel like the parents don't really love you. You're responsible for this, and you try to prove to them, no, that you know, you try to achieve and get that love and affection. And the other idea in parenting is that you should never treat your child as if they're a replacement of you, as simply a replacement of you, because that's also dangerous. When you treat your child as a replacement of you, it has negative effects on the child. The child isn't able to make independent decisions. We see from Cain that he followed in the same path as his parents, and the child could fall into the same flawed pattern as the parents as well. So you want to give the child a certain level of independence. So we see that Adam and Chava really changed their ways in number 15. If you look at number 15, when they had their third son, it says, Vayeda Adam Odes Ishto Vatelet Bein Vatikra Ishmo Shes Kishasli Elokim Zera Acher Tachas Hevel Kiharago Cain. When they had their third son, it says that Chava named the son Shes. Why? Because God bestowed upon me another Zera, another offspring, instead of Hevel, who was killed by Cain. So we see that in this naming of Shes, there's a little more rationality. It's not as, it doesn't seem to be as impulsive on the part of Chava. By Cain, it was the emotion that she felt then. By Hevel, it was also the emotion that she felt. But here, by Shes, there's a certain level of independence in the naming of Shes. On the one hand, he's not just an extension of them, and there's no idea of Kanisili. It's an idea that God has bestowed it upon me, and they almost view Shes as separate, apart from them. If you look in the Chizkuni, he kind of says that. He says, Vatikra Shemo Shes, Avalamata hol ubalo akasov l'sader seder told us hadoros nachon lichto of kriyas Hashem al Adam. So before it says that Adam called him, that's because of the way the Torah expresses it before. But really, Chava named him Shas shemimenu nishtas haolam lashon vayashas aleim tevel varishonim shabo mikain hachol ibud. So I think it means that he's going to be the future. He's going to be responsible for the population of the world. So you see that. Chava and Adam, when they had Shes, they on the one hand, they didn't view him as simply an extension of the emotions that she felt at the time of childbirth, like she did with Cain and Hevel, but she's able to understand the value of Shes to the world apart from themselves, because they're calling him Shes, and they're recognizing the role that God plays in them having Shes. So in both senses, they almost worked on their parenting, and their parenting got better, and we see from the naming of Shes that their perspective of their child changed as well. On the one hand, they viewed him as being separate from them, as contributing to the world in a different way as them, and also they're willing to acknowledge God's role in having Shes as opposed to Hevel and Cain, and Kanisia and Hevel. So we see the development of Adam and Chava in terms of having children and their parenting skills throughout this parak in Parshas Bereishis. Okay? So that's really the shiur tonight. It's a little, I guess, in-depth analysis of what was going on. I don't want to make it too simple. I don't want it to seem like Cain was really a child. He wasn't a child. He was sophisticated. But I think the Torah is giving us, he definitely was flawed. The Torah tells us that he was flawed. And the Torah gives us insight into the background behind Cain's personality traits and where it came from, as opposed to Hevel's personality traits. Okay, so let me just summarize one last time, and then we'll call it a night. And so the one last summary of the shiur tonight is that the purpose of the shiur was to try to understand the relationship of Adam and Chava, more so Chava, because we see Chava named Cain and Hevel. So to see how that relationship and how that development affected Cain and affected his flaw and caused him to sin. So we said that there's really two main ideas or two main causes of Cain's personality development. One is that he was named pre-chait, and he was named after a personality trait that on the one hand was at the time thought of as a good, but on the other hand afterwards was associated as a disappointing personality trait, as one that caused tremendous harm to the world. And Cain, being the offspring of that, must have, or it would be natural as part of his development, to on the one hand identify with that personality trait, but on the other hand also feel that sense of disappointment. And that existed within his personality, and according to the Ramban, he was viewed as an extension of them. He was a kinyan for them, and he was a replacement for them. And being such also as well, he didn't develop normally. It affected his personality development. And those two main ideas explain why Cain chose the profession that he chose, why it was so important to him that that he become an Oved Adama, and why his flaw emerged. His flaw emerged because he was unable to relinquish the idea of creativity when it came to the Korbanos, as opposed to Hevel. And he was seeking out a recognition as a creator. He wasn't competing with God, as Adam and Chava had done, but he's one level below that. He didn't succumb to the same exact sin, but he recognizes he can't overcome God. But on the one hand, he's seeking or searching for that love, that affection, that attention, the attention from God, that God recognizes that I'm a great creator. And that's one step below Cain and Hevel. And unfortunately, Hashem says you can still do tshuva for that. You can still change the basic fundamentals of your psyche. If you understand yourself and you work on yourself, you can still do that. But he wasn't able to do that. And then we see that he was punished in a similar way to Adam, that the land was affected because of this, because that was his creative outlet. That was where his emotions and all of his creative instincts were outletted in. And that had to be taken away in order that he not express this anymore, in order that this flaw be corrected. Okay? Can I just say one last point? Is everybody still on the phone line? Or just one last point? I saw Pasuk in Koheles from this past Shabbos, and it actually also related to Cain. So I was just thinking of a little bit of a separate point. It'll be quick. So if you look in number 13, it says, Im yolid ish mea, Vishanam Rabos Yichya Virav Shiyu Yume Shana Vinafsho Lo Sizba Minatova Vigam Kfura Lo Haisalo Amarti Tovi Menu Hanofel. Says that if a man has many children, 100 children, and he lives a long life, and his soul can't be Lotizba Minatova, his soul can't be satiated from the good, and he doesn't even have a kfura, Amarti, I say, Tovi Menu Hanofel, the Nofel, the miscarried baby is better off than he is. And the Torah Tmima says that it's a reference to Cain. Im yolid ish mea, zek Cain, sheholded mea banim. Cain had 100 boys. Vishanim rabos yechya, shechaya shanim harbe. He lived a very long life. And nafsho lo sizba minatova. He still didn't get satisfaction from the good. Shelo sava nafsho mimamono, velo sava mituvo shel olam. He never gained any satisfaction from his money or from the good of the world. Vigam kvura lo haisolo. So he was washed away. Hevel was better off than Cain. So what we see from here, the idea of the pasuk is saying that when you have this instinct, like Cain had this drive, this instinct, and he wasn't able to satisfy the instinct, and he saw the good around him. He saw that he had the potential. The potential was there. He had children. He had he lived a long life. Usually we say that the person who has the potential is lucky. If you have the potential to be happy and to have the good and to have a good life and to be a good person, so we usually say that's a good thing. But the chiddush that Kohelis is saying is that when a person is unable, either because of externals or because of internals, because of a personality flaw or personality defect, if you're unable to actually achieve that good, then it's more harm than good. It's actually more painful. And I was thinking of an example, like if a child wants to go to a baseball game, a boy, and there's a glass wall in between him and the stadium. So you would say that that's really painful. It's more painful than just staying, just don't go. Don't even see it. Just stay at home. So the idea is that usually we say that by externals, like the glass wall, but even by an internal problem, if you have an internal flaw that limits your ability to be happy and to attain the good, the presentation of the good is more painful. When you see things around you that seem to be good, you have many children, you have opportunities, but you can't achieve it because of your own internal flaw, that's a worse, from a psychological standpoint, that's a painful existence. It's almost worse that you die young, that you don't exist. And that's what it's saying by Cain, that really the quality of his life wasn't even close to the quality of Hevel's life. So that's what the Kohelis is teaching us. Okay, so I just want to finish this year with that upbeat note. And everybody have a good Shabbos and have a good Yontif. And we'll take it up next week and continue.
Thank you so much.